that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Yeah. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Got Converse down and running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash.
Hi guys, this is Tom Groves at Onabox on Twitter. I'd just like to be the first one to hopefully call it out and say April Fool's on Scapegoat leaving. If not, then sorry to hear it. Bye.
Well, one guy got it.
One guy.
There were a lot of people that were genuinely concerned.
A lot of concerned people.
I actually text Scapegoat.
Oh, I'm here?
You're
here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I actually texted you.
I thought
you
we were
going to
like continue this and pretend that I wasn't. No.
No, or, it was, you know what?
Bits don't go on forever.
Well, the problem is the next time this happens, when I actually, and I'm not saying that I'm going to, everyone, calm down.
Right.
And thank you for your concern. Next time they're not going to believe you.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
They're going to be like, "No, he's coming back. We know he's coming back."
Quite honestly,
it's getting a change.
It was the perfect storm of events.
I'm like the David Lynch of.
Right. Yeah. You were supposed to be there. Yeah. Right. You couldn't be there the week prior. You
That's
had a
true.
Commitment.
Yes.
You were supposed to be there, but then last minute you had a commitment.
It's
your public obligation.
It's jury duty.
Jury duty
sucks.
Right. It kept you there late.
It
also happened to be
service.
April Fool's.
Right. It all worked out.
Yeah. It was just like, well,
we know what to do with this.
We can have a little fun with this. One guy.
And because we don't do any writing, the writing happened for us.
That's right.
Like it worked out really well.
One of our regulars, and I could be wrong, but I think it was Wombat Neil on Twitter, a longtime listener.
What up, Wombat?
Like, he's like, so is he actually gone from the show? Because, you know, I bought a shirt that has a goat on it.
Yeah.
Well, Wombat, you'll now have to buy the new goat-free version of the shirt.
So
that would be a brilliant idea if you released goatless shirts.
Goatless shirts.
By the way, that is definitely how you're announcing my retirement next time.
Yes. Just,
yeah, buy
just
our new
on
shirt.
The website. It's a new photo.
Saying.
It's a new sticker and new, and there's no goat.
That's it.
That's
no goat.
How we do it.
April Fool's or something.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, actually, what are we titling this episode? We had a title. It was
Sorry or You're Welcome.
That's right. So I guess if you're a fan, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're not a fan, sorry.
Sorry. It's my fault anyway, right?
That's there you
the
go.
Point.
It's your fault anyway. That being said.
Yes.
It is lovely for us all to be here.
Woo!
It's been a while, it feels like.
Yeah.
A few weeks.
It's like a reunion.
It is of sorts.
Hey, we're getting the band back together.
That's right. This is the week after the birthday celebration.
What?
Last week was the birthday celebration.
Oh, right,
this
right.
is the week after the birthday celebration.
Sorry, I thought we were talking about my birthday, which is next week.
Right, but you won't be here next week,
That's
so
true.
You're celebrating by yourself.
No, I'm celebrating with thousands of Star Wars fans.
You're celebrating on a plane.
No.
Yep.
Oh, your actual birthday is on Friday.
Thursday.
Oh, I thought it was
the 16th,
oh, okay.
Sir. All right.
All right.
So I will be up
you will
here
be. Yeah.
In Star Wars people.
Well, there you go. That's a lovely birthday present for you.
I don't know if I ever want Star Wars people that close to my face. He made a gesture for those for those of you listening
Star Wars
to the audio
you
version.
Don't know, maybe.
Listen, first of all, there are some Star Wars ladies
who you'd like
have. Oh, no. I don't mean that people who are fans of Star Wars are like unclean or convention goers or a specific type.
No.
I mean, it sounded like you were in a pile of sweaty people. Like, that's what you made
Yeah.
Really?
Sound
sweaty?
Like. Yeah.
And what gave the
something
sweaty
about
part
being
away?
Piled in people?
But
I don't
anyway,
see that being comfortable.
So what if we were piled in a freezer? We wouldn't be sweaty, would we?
I think they should give
it's
out.
Officially the worst conversation
at
on the
Celebration.
Air.
I think Right Guard should sponsor it. And
no,
they should
remember
give
that?
Out deodorant.
What? No.
Shaped as lightsabers.
First of all,
degree. Degree.
There you go.
Hold on. Yeah.
They did it at a con.
I'm going to stop you because, New York Comic Con did it. But that's not the point I'm going to make here is, again, neither one of you has been to a Celebration. It is not like a Comic Con.
I understand that. But any con that I've been to, even the smallest cons, even Geek Flea.
Yep.
There are some people
I get
who
you.
Would benefit strongly.
I get that.
From an antiperspirant.
Yes. But you're talking about, all right, Geek Flea, you're talking about like one or two guys. New York Comic Con, you're talking about probably a double digit percent.
Right.
At Celebration, I'm telling you, it's not like any con.
Everybody
it just
is
isn't.
Clean?
They are.
Okay.
I swear.
Well, they are in Europe. Sometimes.
Yeah. Last year was
so they're
Germany.
More clean. Yeah.
But
more
I didn't
clean
go.
Is
but
Germany.
The point is that I'm telling you, this is just not like any con.
Well, we'll see from your reporting, right?
That's right.
Well,
well which he's will not be... going to be able to report back on smell, but...
You could.
I could ask. I could interview
there,
you.
There is an, there
doesn't
is
this con smell?
I was going to say, what do you mean the technology doesn't exist yet? And then I remembered our reporter is flawed.
Right.
Wait
a minute.
On.
Why are you the
hold
definitive on. Authority on whether or not it smells there if you can't smell?
Hold on.
I think we found a hole in your argument.
A loophole in the argument.
This isn't Daredevil. That's your okay. other senses.
I'll wait. You guys keep
can you
talking.
Smell through your
no,
eyes?
No, it's fine. Go on. Keep talking. That's
yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, we're asking a question.
First of all, it is a commonly known fact
right.
that celebrations are much cleaner than other conventions.
I have not heard this.
I
fact,
didn't know
but
that.
Okay.
That's
I'm learning
that's actually
on Snopes.
A thing.
That's,
and even though yeah. Matt Booker
that's right.
is going to be there, right. it'll still be clean.
Well, you know.
Wow.
He's a mostly clean gentleman.
I'm actually staying with Matt Booker.
We love Matt Booker.
So I'm very excited actually to spend all that time with the guys from England. All of them too. James from Jedi News UK. Is, I'm also staying with those guys. Really terrific. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, that said, I got an early birthday present yesterday from a source who would like to remain anonymous.
Ooh.
Okay.
Intriguing.
And they were tickets, orchestra seat tickets to the Lord of the Rings with the live orchestra and chorus.
That's lovely.
I saw it last night. Now, this is at Lincoln Center.
Okay.
They're showing all of the movies through the course of the next couple of days.
All right.
They're all sold out. Every nice. Single one of them. This is actually an added show that I got to see of Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay.
Completely different experience. So you're talking about almost
than just
a
seeing
night
the movie,
day.
You mean?
And to as opposed to just seeing the movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because
it's like watching movies in the 1920s. There used to be like a guy on keyboard.
On the piano?
Yeah.
It's piano then, not
a player.
Keyboard.
No, but I didn't... the harpsichord?
Yeah.
How far back you
piano.
Go?
So, yes, I get it.
Clavichord.
But this was 250 musicians and choral people, and it was phenomenal. Phenomenal experience.
Cool.
And... you don't even recognize that like parts that are sung by choral people.
Right.
You don't think of that because it just when you watch a movie and you don't have this experience, it's just providing you additional information to what's going on visually that you see, and you're not really breaking it all down, but yet watching it being broken down in front of you by the choral people, and then they have the soprano who sings some parts, then they have like a 12-year-old boy who sings some of the other high parts, but then there's all the other choral people, and then there's the entire orchestra, directed by a guy named Ludwig. I'm sorry, I don't have his last name, but right out of the Bugs Bunny tradition of German orchestra leaders.
Nice.
With the flop of hair, you know, and it was really, really funny. Also in attendance, I saw Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Who I understand is a big Lord of the Rings fan, so bravo. And also there last night was Howard Shore, who is the guy who did the music, the composer,
right, right.
Who did all the music, got to meet him get a book about him and about making the music for Lord of the Rings. It was a terrific experience, and I highly recommend if the tour comes to your town that you check it out.
Well, there you go.
They are cool. Going around, though, so.
Yeah, check it definitely. Out. And get the tickets fast, because it will sell out.
Like that. Yeah. They were gone instantly. They're adding shows because the demand was so much.
They should do that for more movies.
I don't disagree.
Like, in general, like, if they did, they can even do artsy-fartsy ones, if they did, like, Magnolia, but with, like, a lot, because the whole fucking thing is an opera. I mean, right? There's essentially a score playing the whole time. Would that be kind of cool, like a live audience kind of thing?
They've done Star Wars.
Yes. They've done video games before, too. Mm-hmm. They've done video games
the
live.
Nintendo one, the Zelda one, was it was in New Jersey last year as well. Was that, it was in Newark.
NJPAC?
Yeah, NJPAC.
That's
a
good. That's not a bad venue. So,
sounds good. I think the problem is that the movie has to be big enough in order to support the audience, because it's not a cheap endeavor to put on a show.
I guess to hire an
orchestra. 250 musicians and singers. I mean, you're talking a lot of people.
So, you know, I mean, not to knock Magnolia, but I don't know that Magnolia has the draw.
Well, that's
that
what I'm
Lord
saying.
But
does that require a whole orchestra? Isn't that a pretty minimalist score? It's like a quintet and
true.
A pianist.
True. Yeah. I mean, look, it certainly could be explored.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what shouldn't be explored anymore in cinema?
What?
Car movies.
You know, it's funny because
wow,
see what I did?
Silly
there?
Rabbit. Segways are for kids.
It's funny
they're
because
they're for CEOs of companies that drive them off cliffs.
Most people, not that I know, because I think you might be the only person I know personally that saw this.
Yeah,
but most people that I saw, like online, and even a lot of the reviews, USA Today, and
I don't get it.
They all like the movie.
Yeah, I don't
how
know
great
why.
The franchise is over. Of course, we're talking about Furious Seven.
Yeah,
right?
We are talking about Furious Seven.
As many movies as Star Wars will have this year,
right?
What a weird
thing.
Yeah,
it's well received overall. I mean, I think they're already talking about the next one.
Look, I recently found out they are talking about the next one, and they're saying that they've always planned to do 10 and all this bullshit.
Right.
And I've read that basically what happens is Vin Diesel is not just a producer in name. He actually goes with the scriptwriter and the director, and they sit in a room and they come up with ridiculous set pieces.
Right.
And then they make up a story so that it makes sense. That is evident as fuck in Furious 7.
Okay.
And, I think that individually, like, the scenes are well directed, and they're fun to watch for ridiculous over-the-top set piece. Please don't think this through, because both the physics and the tech don't make any fucking sense.
Right.
And you can enjoy them. But, like, as a cohesive movie, none of it really makes any goddamn sense.
I'm proud.
And I'm assuming that anyone who went to see it, including myself, assumed it wouldn't. No one's looking for I think this is going to be a really interesting.
No one's looking for Interstellar.
Yeah, no one's looking to see Interstellar or an Inception or even like a Bond where there's emotional stuff going on. But the movie doesn't make sense, like logical sense in any way. And it feels really hard that the director was trying to unravel the ridiculous timeline of the Furious movies. Because I don't know if you know this, but basically the first movie happens, then there's a short film, then there's 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 4, 5, 6, 3, 7. So they go through this first half an hour of the movie, like recapping what happened and going back and visiting all the shit that happened.
Yeah, because Tokyo Drift is like way out there. Yeah.
Right. So they pull everything together, and the movie is on and is going on, and you're like, okay, cool. And then they throw in a whole other plot for no goddamn reason. Like, the movie, it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
And I don't know how much of it is because the reshoots for the Paul Walker stuff, which I think was handled okay.
Right.
But it's not a good movie. It already made $350 million. They're clearly going to do more sequels. I'm the only person who didn't like it, I guess.
Proud to say I've never seen a single one of those movies.
I was going to say, me too. And I don't think I ever will, to be honest with you.
And that said, I would rather see Riddick 7 than go out and see another one
of
these.
Yeah, but those Riddick movies are not terrible.
They're not. They're good.
No,
that's
I
the
like
point.
Them.
They're fun.
Yeah. They're not well. They're not always well received box office wise.
No, they're not.
The last one wasn't received box office wise.
No, they
weren't.
But Pitch Black
good.
Really wasn't either. To be honest with you,
none of them
Pitch
were.
Black
all,
was the hit.
They're all cult.
Pitch Black cult like
in quotes.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, but that's like saying Fight Club was a big deal. Like everyone fucking hated that when it came out of box office, but it blew up on DVD and all that kind of shit. Now there's going to be a graphic novel sequel coming out this next month.
I'm only okay with it because Chuck Palahniuk is writing it.
Yeah, I know.
If he wasn't writing it, I wouldn't be okay.
Yeah, but still, I don't know if I want to see that. Like, that could ruin years of...
It could, but he really wants... He feels...
You know, separate universes, sir.
But he feels he has another story to tell in that universe.
I'm going to read it. Let's be honest. I'm going to read it.
Right.
I mean, but... I'm still nervous about
Pitch
that.
Black was a sleeper hit like We're the Millers. Okay. You know, like it was one of the and like Hot Tub Time Machine.
Right, right.
Movies that everybody expected would fail miserably that didn't. Like X-Men First Class. Like sure. Everyone no one expected good things out of Pitch Black. And then all of a sudden, this character was humongous. Everybody was talking. Do you remember when that movie came out? Everybody was talking about that movie.
And I'm not a huge fan of Pitch Black. I thought it was okay.
It was pretty good.
You know what? It also had a game come out that was surprisingly amazing when it came out at the time. Do you remember that? There was
Chronicles
of Riddick Escape from Butcher Bay or something.
Yeah.
It was an original Xbox game and it blew everyone away.
There was also that animated series that was like part of the story as well.
Yeah, that was the same thing.
Yeah.
That released at the same... Yeah. I think it released around the same time. But yeah, good stuff.
So there you go.
What else newsy news do we have?
Oh, well, there's all sorts of newsy news stuff.
Yep.
Let's go back to Star Wars for a minute.
Shall we?
Coming this Friday, April 10th, for the first time ever, all six Star Wars films will be available to you in a digital platform.
Really? Is this really the first time?
For digital download? Yeah, I believe so. For digital download and purchase... I believe this is the first time.
So Ultraviolet doesn't count? Did you not get Ultraviolet with the Blu-ray?
I don't think that you got Ultraviolet. I could be mistaken.
I don't know.
I don't think that you did.
Interesting.
In addition to, of course, it's the first time ever, there's all sorts of bonus things for each movie.
One new piece of something with each film.
For each, right. Each movie has at least one new something.
Most of it is the same old shit.
Yep.
Which versions are they releasing?
My understanding is it's the same versions that were on the Blu-ray.
Okay.
Special edition.
The special editions.
I'm not as familiar with what the difference between the theatrical, the remastered, the VHS, the DVD extra, the Laserdisc, and the Blu-ray right. versions
You're
are.
You're forgetting one.
The differences between the... I know I am.
Yeah.
I
the THX remember. Version.
That's what it is. Did you see the remade THX logo, by the way?
They
remade
yes, the sound. Yeah. Yeah, did anyway, I post it on our Facebook page?
I think you did, yeah.
I don't know. But either way, so which version is... I'm legitimately asking. Have they...
This is the special editions.
So this would be the last theatrical release.
Correct.
The last theatrical release.
Right. And remember, the special editions only apply to 4, 5, and 6.
Correct.
1, 2, and 3 are
Oh, they've
two,
already
three.
Been, yeah, yeah.
They came out as their own special edition.
Only edition.
Yeah.
They were special.
Right.
They
this,
didn't.
You know, a lot of people thought that this might be finally the opportunity to release the original theatrical. Mm-mm, not happening. So my opinion on this is, I guess it's cool, but I see no reason to own these movies in a digital format. I'm not watching Star Wars on my phone or on my tablet.
But it's not for you. It's for everyone who's like, I want to see episode 7 and I barely remember all of the 6 because I never fucking saw them because I'm younger.
Yeah, I guess if you're piecemealing it, I guess if you're piecemealing it, then it makes sense.
No, I'm saying I think that there are plenty of people who know of and know about Star Wars,
right.
but really haven't seen them in a long time.
No, but what I'm saying is for me, the real benefit to owning these digitally is how I'm going to watch them.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not watching these movies on the go. I'm watching these movies on my couch at home or at someone else's house. And I have the Blu-ray for
that. It's the THX experience, you mean.
But not even that. I just, like, I don't see myself sitting down and watching this on a tablet or a laptop. It's not. It's a TV experience.
Correct.
And for that, I have the Blu-ray.
Right.
So, for me, it's not like it's not a repurchase for me. There's not a huge appeal to this for me. I know for some people, they're all about it. Kudos to them. For me, it makes no sense, personally.
And to get the 6 bits, and they literally are bits of new interviews or behind the scenes or whatever the nonsense is that they're tacking on. The 6 bits of it, I just don't care, to be honest with you.
And I'm sure they'll be available elsewhere.
Someday.
Yeah. So I'm not.
Episode 7 box set. Exactly. Hey, remember those digital ones we released? There you go, kid.
Exactly.
Nah.
All right.
It's good to have another medium.
Let's stick with... I don't know. Let's stick with Disney, I guess.
Why are you Star Wars thumbing through Disney? There? I'll give you a hot Star Wars rumor.
Okay, go ahead.
Are
we doing Latina review now?
No. The Ewan McGregor rumor is flared up again.
Oh, has it really? I haven't read that one.
That one of the standalone movies
is still
will be
an
Obi-Wan movie. Yeah. And again, the rumor
Aren't we
is
all okay with that. Like, we kind of want that.
I'm not. I have no problem with that.
Well, if they make that fucking book, which they decanonized,
right?
They recanonize it or make a version of that
make
story.
A version of it. Yeah.
Holy crap! That would be amazing. The only down part of it right now is, of course, that he's supposed to be in hiding, and will it be enough action, and so on and so forth. Will it have enough cross appeal? Yeah,
to me, hiding doesn't necessarily mean that he's spending all of his time in a cave eating ramen. It just means that he's not
right,
on the radar.
He could be on
That's
a military
vacation.
Right, he could be in a military base in Pakistan surrounded by people.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. Did I... Whoops.
That's not funny.
That's actually Tatooine right now. All right, let's stick with other Disney things. Tron 3 is definitely moving forward.
Yeah.
With Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde is confirmed to return as Korra.
Nice. Bruce Lund
is returning
and
as
that other guy.
Garrett Hudlund is returning as young Flynn. Kevin? No, not Kevin.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's no, Kevin. Sam.
Sam
Flynn, it is.
Kevin is his father.
Kevin is his
father. Yeah,
So that's cool.
And it is Joseph Kaczynski who directed the previous installment.
Here's my only bitch to Disney about Tron 3 moving forward. Please fucking release Uprising.
Please.
For purchase.
Please get back Daft Punk.
Well, that too.
Please
Absolutely
go get
Daft back
Punk.
Daft Punk.
Understand how important the soundtrack was to your movie.
Get release Uprising.
And give
for
me
purchase.
Uprising. Because first of all,
can you not get it anywhere?
No, with the stupid schedule that they had, right? I ended up not seeing all of it. I ended up missing a handful of episodes because they kept on moving it around.
Is it in the vault?
No, they've never been released in the US officially. I believe it's been released elsewhere.
That's stupid.
It has?
I think in Italy.
But
I don't think it's region coded for us.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, if they are confirming a new movie, they're going to release that
DVD. Of course, because it's supposed that show is supposed to be canon. That show is supposed to take place
between Tron and Tron Legacy.
Yes, between Tron and Tron Legacy.
Correct.
So I want it. I want to finish that story.
Yeah.
And before I move on to Tron 3, I want to finish Uprising.
It's like the Animatrix.
Yeah.
I'll talk to my retailer Y and see if I can get
it. I'm sure it's available on some platform.
Retailer Y.
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
W.I.
Oh, gosh. Golly gosh, gee willikers. Let's talk about...
you skip around. Just hit the next
Let's talk about Deadshot and Deathstroke.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to.
In the Arrow Flashverse, So, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. If you're not caught up on Arrow, tune out.
They're both on the show.
They killed Deadshot a couple weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
They did.
And the last,
right before his figure came out.
And the last time we saw Slade Wilson, he was still locked up in that Argus prison on whatever the name of the island
is. No, he wasn't.
He was. He was re-locked up.
Oh, re-locked. In the prison. Okay.
He escaped, but he was back in prison by the end of that episode. Yeah. Apparently, what's going on is that Warner Brothers is telling the CW, no.
You can't have them anymore.
You can't have them anymore. Because we have Squad, #Squad, coming out in 2 years. So fuck Warner Brothers. Stop fucking with my universe. It's a dick move.
No, have a universe.
Well, yeah, but right. This is your own problem. You've created these characters or allowed these characters to be created and then chose not to use them. That's your fault.
Yeah, I remember.
Don't take it out on us.
I remember reading an interview about that where they say now that they're going to create more, they're going to be a problem with who can use who. And they said, no, we pretty much came up with whatever we wanted and they said it's okay.
Yeah.
And now it's changed.
And now it's changing.
I have two words for you. Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Oh, what? They can't exist in two different universes at the same time?
Well, look. Are they going to cancel? No.
Yes, but that's not the same. Those are competing interests intentionally fucking with each other.
Right.
Like, they're not the same company. This is the same company being like, yeah, if you could just go ahead and not do that.
Well, here's the thing. In all honesty, though. Both of those characters, while especially Slade, right? Especially Deathstroke is pretty significant to the Arrowverse, right?
Absolutely.
He's not a main character.
No,
he was for season 2, but he's not a main.
No, I think you can get rid of him for a season.
Right.
You absolutely can have him hibernate.
So here's the thing, though. Are they going to cancel Flash? That's the big one.
Oh, you mean
if you're really concerned about a conflict.
Yeah.
That's the big one. You've recast Flash in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to cancel it because it's doing amazing. It's actually beating Arrow a lot of weeks ratings. Yeah.
I've heard that it has a huge female audience.
It does. It's overall, it's a great show. To be honest with you, Flash season 1 has been, in
way
my
better
opinion,
than Arrow
has been a little
one.
Bit better than Arrow season 1, a little bit better than Arrow overall this season 2, I think. I think it's really strong this season, Flash.
I think there's some pacing stuff that they've worked out on Flash.
See what you did there?
Yeah, it's funny, right?
But that's the big one. Are you going to pull Flash? Are you going to say CW, cancel that show?
They just need to change which Flash is in the movie.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you. Yeah, that would that's be it. But they're not going to do that.
Should be the kid.
No, especially because they're on the precipice of it introducing Wally West on the show. I think he's next season.
You think Wally West is coming?
Absolutely.
Really?
I think he's next season.
You think they're going to go that far?
Yep.
I don't know.
I think so. I think he's next season. That's my guess.
But Wally West would be great for the movie.
He would be, but...
Although he'd be kind of similar to Green Lantern.
He'd be good for... He'd be good in both universes. I mean, I guess.
It's fucking annoying. It's annoying. It's bullshit.
The only thing I will say is that Deathstroke and Deadshot are both not in the Justice League movies, if we're calling them that. They're in Suicide Squad. Yeah. So maybe it's just characters involved with Suicide Squad.
One and done.
Because they don't have confidence in Suicide Squad. That's my guess, is that they're concerned.
Why would they?
Of course, why would they? Will Smith. I'm sorry, but the dude playing Floyd Lawton on Arrow is awesome.
He's great.
I think
that whole cast, and you add Margot Robbie, should have been the movie.
And you can even add
Jared Leto. I'd rather have the cast from the Arrow.
Before I read this, I was very sad that they had killed Deadshot off.
Yeah.
But I thought his story was fantastic.
Yeah,
so part of me was like, it's okay that they killed him off because his entire story was really complete.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And he had a 360
by the
end.
Yep, and they reminded us why and all
right.
that. Yeah, it was well done.
But
that's what's nice about the power when writers finally have the ability to actually end something.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can see all they're holding back almost. Right. That's the only
when writers have a plan.
Yeah.
So it was nice.
It's nice to see that.
4, 8, 15, whatever the fuck those lost numbers were, and that all the people were up in arms about today.
I don't know.
Brian Grazer says there's 17 more episodes of Arrested Development coming to Netflix, which really only makes me wish that the original show was never canceled. And I say that because I was not in love with the last season on Netflix. I liked it. I wasn't in love with it.
Yeah, but we know that's mostly a product that they couldn't get everyone together to shoot it, so they had to shoot it that way.
Do you think that they're going to suddenly be able to get everybody together this time around?
Yes,
it's going to be like the original.
That's the point.
Oh, is that the point?
I think the point is that the Netflix saw enough interest from that, and everyone in that show is not that busy right now.
Right.
Like you were a couple of years ago.
Except Jeffrey Tambor.
That's true.
And what's
her
name?
Who just won an Emmy, didn't he?
But they'd come back.
Yeah.
You're talking about Jessica Water?
Well, Mother and Archer.
She's an Archer. Yeah, but that's voice acting.
I know.
But think about the entirety of the rest of the cast. None of them are working.
Portia is in Scandal.
There you go.
Yeah, but she's not starring in Scandal.
No,
she's a bit on
Scandal. I'm saying I think they can get them back this time.
That's what I mean.
I did hear they are officially putting out a re-edit of Arrested Development of that season that puts it in chronological order, which makes it better. Apparently, I don't know. I haven't seen that season yet.
Yeah, look, the problem with that last season was that because it was character centric. Each episode was character centric. You didn't really get the interaction that made that show what it was.
Absolutely.
And so some of the stories were interesting and there were funny moments, but it didn't have the same power,
which was the whole
that the show had. So look, if they could figure out a way to get it and do it more like what the TV series was, then fine.
But it'd be nice if they took advantage of Netflix's format.
Right.
Which I like and kind of hate at the same time.
Okay.
So I've discovered this recently. So I just watched one of Netflix's new shows, Bloodline.
Which I've heard great things about.
Yeah, it is really good.
Yeah.
However, there's a lot of shit that when you're binge watching a show,
right,
certain points are made that don't matter. Do you know what I mean? So there's pacing in shows where if a big event happens, the week of pause
is important.
It's really good for the pacing of, wow, that was a big reveal.
Right.
But when you can go to the next episode and it undoes that reveal, the whole plot point is useless unless it actually does something to the end result or to the characters. Like there is a different plotting that you have to go by if you can release an entire season at once. And I think that most Netflix series have hit that. The last season of House of Cards was pretty much divided into three arcs,
right,
I guess, where none of them mattered. Like you could watch the first arc, the second arc, and then the third one was okay, and then a cliffhanger. Like it made
right.
It doesn't. I don't want to spoil that yet. Maybe people may not have seen it. The Bloodline is a very similar thing. There's like a lot of stuff going on, and it all wraps up in like the last three or four episodes. But there's middle that you could cut out because.
I'm actually surprised that Netflix hasn't picked up on figuring out a way, even just to maybe you don't do one a week, but maybe you do two a week or three a week. Some break up the binge.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that takes away from.
I agree, yeah. but I also think that there's the potential to expand their revenue by breaking it up. Because think about it,
yeah.
There are people who, for example, don't have Netflix right now.
Yeah, they signed up for 1 month.
But are signing up on Thursday of this week for Daredevil on Friday
for the 1 month trial.
Right,
they'll finish it and go,
and then they'll cancel it.
Yeah, and then they'll find a new email address for next year.
Right. However, if they did it even two or three episodes a week over the course of a month, let's say, you might get some people that actually stick around for a few months, and that would increase your revenue stream.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'm not watching 13 episodes on Friday. First of all, I don't have the time to watch 13 episodes on Friday. But second of all, I think personally, I only want to watch two, maybe, and then give myself a day or two to digest it and think about it, and then two or three again. Like, I'm going to break it up. I'm not going to binge it. It's going to be hard to avoid spoilers, and
The thing about that, though, apparently the pacing on Daredevil is really good.
Right.
And what's going to happen and what should happen is, no, I need to see the next episode. I want to click next. And that is how that should work to me. Something needs to grip you to go to the next story.
Sure.
But I hear basically Netflix is telling show creators, pretend you're making a 13-hour movie.
Right.
And then cut it.
Right.
Which doesn't, it doesn't.
It doesn't always work.
It doesn't make you want to click the next button, except for the fact that it says the next episode will start in 10 seconds. You want to stop it?
Right.
Nah, fuck it. I might as well leave it on.
Cut that shit down to 5 seconds.
Just want to be clear. Bloodlines is great.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that you. I'm noticing that all of these shows are suffering from a certain...
I hear you. So Daredevil.
Yes.
It's happening in a couple days. Netflix, we get it.
Yeah. We have gone dark. Just want you to know.
For the last week now, there's been a new something every day. There's been a new trailer, a new motion poster every day. Every day!
They're excited about it. They should be. Because it's a great character. It's a really great character for them to get to do. It's inside that Marvel universe. It's right before Avengers comes out. They should be hyping the shit out of it. I don't blame them. I'm sick of it too. But at the same time, I'm really, really excited to see what's going to happen. And I'm also really, really... really, really excited to see how they're going to fit this into the rest of the universe.
Right.
And I've read one or two reviews. I don't want to know any of the plot.
Right.
They've all said spoiler free, but every once in a while they accidentally reveal something in there. And one of the things I read was that it pretty much deals with this all started because of what happened in New York.
Yeah. Right.
Like crime, this underbelly of crime exists because of what happened in Avengers. And if they actually directly reference that, that's enough.
Yeah.
Like to me, the fact that this is linked the same way the whole point of comics is.
This is a post-Battle of New York universe.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Again, I've gone dark. I get that they're excited about it, but at some point it's like they're either showing the same minute and a half just recut with different voiceovers, or they're showing stuff that I just
don't want
to see until I see it.
Yeah.
Like it's the same reason I went dark on Avengers. Yep. Avengers is still 3 weeks away, and
they
there's
keep
like
releasing
new
trailers.
TV spots and like new this on Kimmel.
I also
and that on,
yeah,
and I just
I
like,
went
no.
dark on Avengers too. Also,
so did I.
I'm not reading.
I'm not looking. I don't want
this
know.
Way. When Robert Downey Jr. has hilarious ad libs, I don't know what they are.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I'll be able to laugh in theaters.
All right. Well, since we brought up Age of Ultron, let's talk about that real quick.
Sure.
Joss Whedon and Kevin Feige.
There's no post credits.
Yeah, there's
mid-credit.
A tag,
yeah.
But there is no post credit. There is no shawarma.
So there's a Thanos, but no shawarma.
That's correct.
I'm okay with that. I'd rather see Thanos.
And Whedon is pretty much like, look, we're telling you this now, so that you don't sit through it and then get pissed.
And
there's nothing.
I like their honest answer. Yeah, they're like, we're not telling you this to fake you out. We're telling you this so you don't hate us.
All right, but here's the funny part. On May 1st,
yep.
or 2nd. How many people are going to lose their minds? Because people are already saying that they think it's a joke, that it's a ruse.
It's not.
And all these people are going to sit through the fucking credits and then be pissed. And it's going to be like, no, you're an idiot. They told you.
And you didn't listen.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think, because it's not to Marvel's benefit to make this kind of announcement, to have you miss it. They want you to see those stingers.
Do you know who I think is fucking with people, though?
Who?
Christoph Waltz.
Oh, with the whole
Spectre
thing?
Do you know what I'm talking about? This is, like, he phrased it to the point where the way J.J. Abrams phrased,
right?
Benedict Cumberbatch, I think, was the one who actually said in an interview. He's like, "Well, the name of my character is actually this." Shut the fuck up,
right?
We know who you are.
We know who you are.
He pretty much said that.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I don't think there's any after credit.
No,
no,
and I'm fine with that.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm excited to see that movie when it comes out.
That's right.
Unlike other people who claim to have seen it before it comes out.
All right.
I just want to give a mighty fuck you to that person.
That's right.
Oh, did that happen already?
No, but I just, if that person listens, I wanted to say fuck you on the air. I understand your situation, but I want everyone to have this hatred for you.
That's okay. His brother is losing that job, so.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That got personal real quick. Yep. I'm sorry for your loss.
Your brother's loss. It's not your loss. The only loss that you have is that you don't get to see it.
Oh, actually.
No, it's the only thing he holds over anybody's head.
Other than his hair.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Wow, this is really inside.
That's why we're stopping.
This is so inside.
What's that Gotham?
WonderCon. Well,
I don't want to. All right, we'll go to
Gotham. Do we really have to talk about Gotham?
Well, we haven't had Gotham hate in a while.
Well, that's because it's fucking finally off the air.
The season's not over, though, is it?
I know, but I wish it were.
No, it's on. Isn't it tonight? Isn't it Monday?
I think it's next
week. I think it's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, another week or two.
I saw it on my DVR as, like, soon.
Very Monday. Quickly. We have some season two spoilers.
So there is a season two.
So Jada Pinkett's not in it.
Yeah, that's it. Clayface, Mad Hatter, and Mr. Freeze are all likely going to appear in season two. There's some rumor that they're going to attempt to do Court of the Owls, which I have said would make absolute sense in the universe that they've created, except that it'll turn out to be more like Court of the Bowels.
Wow, really?
So, yes, I went there.
That was...
What rhymes with owls and is really... Bowels!
What rhymes with owls and is exactly like shit. So, there it is. So there's your Gotham hate for the week, for those of you who might be sad.
But
oh, don't we have a phone call about that?
No, it was not about that. We're gonna do the phone call in a moment.
I want to hit
one more story, and then we're gonna do the phone call.
Alrighty.
Going into the break, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Deadpool.
Yeah.
All over the interwebs this past week.
I like that April Fool's joke.
It started with the April Fool's joke. So the actual April Fool's joke was the announcement that the movie was gonna be PG-13.
Right. Yep.
The answer to that was the funny video
with Mario Lopez.
With Marowitz Slater.
Yeah. That was great.
Which I thought was very funny. And then since then, we've seen some set footage. The most important, the two parts of it are pretty important. One is it looks like they're filming the scene that was in the test footage.
Oh, the CG thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
they're actually
cool.
Filming that scene now.
That's nuts.
And then the other thing is a leaked set image. And while I normally don't like leaked set images, I'm okay with this only for the fact that it's given me a little bit of comfort. It's like scarred up face Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just slash to the eye doom, you know what I mean?
He's hamburger headed.
Yeah, he's hamburger headed up a bit. That's nice. And then we also got confirmation, I think, yesterday that Ajax will be in the film.
Can we talk about how awesome it is that Ryan Reynolds gets such a huge do-over?
You know what?
Like three times. Think about this. This guy is in pretty much every comic book universe as a major character, right? He does Green Lantern, which I don't think is his fault,
absolutely,
by the way, that movie was terrible. I just want to put it on record. I think it was terribly written, and I think he was really well cast for that role.
I agree.
But that was a fucking disaster. It's a fucking disaster. I know, we've had this cover.
Yeah.
Fucking disaster. Then he ends up in that shit Wolverine movie as this weird version of Deadpool.
And I don't blame him either.
Which he has said, that never fucking happened. Like, even being interviewed about it, he's like, that never happened.
Yeah, that's what we're putting on the screen.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he gets to be one of the most beloved hated characters on screen. Again, like...
And everybody's supporting him.
And everyone's like on board and being, absolutely, he should be Deadpool. I think that's kind of awesome.
It is.
That's good for him. And I also think his honest answer of, I wish I fucking leaked the test footage.
Right.
Because we've been trying to get this movie made for 3 years and all of a sudden that footage went out and now we're like, we got it
now
done
we
in
got
a week.
It. Yeah.
Fuck me, I should have put that online. Like he said that, which he just seems like the right person to be cast in this
role.
I'm
on board with every part of this. So
all
far.
This thing with Sepia, his shit with a...
Yeah.
Yeah, the way they rolled it out. I'm excited.
I'm actually excited to see this movie. Zero complaints thus far. Yeah.
Do we know if this is tied into... Oh, no. This is owned by...
No. This is owned by Fox.
X-Men universe.
Right. This is Fox.
Part of the X-universe. Yeah. It's right. It's part of the X. Which, yeah. Look, that's where it belongs. It belongs in the X-universe.
I agree. Because I recently found out that in Marvel continuity, apparently, I'm going to get 400 phone calls how this is wrong. Apparently, Thanos.
Yes.
Is this real? Can you guys tell me? Thanos is in love with Death.
Correct. Yes.
And Death is in love with Deathstroke.
You mean Deadpool.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Deadpool. Sorry. Death is in love with
Deadpool.
I read this, apparently.
I don't know the death and Deadpool part. That may be a new thing, but the Thanos and Death thing is absolutely
true. That part is correct, for sure.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know about the Deadpool part.
Okay, fair enough.
See, for me personally, I like where Deadpool started in the books.
Yeah.
I don't know that I like where Deadpool currently is.
Well, I've heard there's like storylines of him making people like he's the only one who's aware he's in a comic book.
Well,
and then he gives
There's a lot of the breaking of the fourth wall that goes on in Deadpool books that I do not like at all.
But I liked it when it started, and I liked the character that he was. When he became Wolverine 2.
Was he like a caricature of himself kind of thing?
He did. He became sillier as the years went on. And it was like Deadpool versus the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, it was
Deadpool
ridiculous.
Deadpool versus every zombie.
So just so you know,
Deadpool versus the monsters. Yeah, Deadpool versus a wombat.
So this,
like,
is, this is pretty much how I feel about Furious 7. Just to go back to this really quickly. That movie is still good, but it's an over-the-top parody of itself.
Right.
Of like where it started.
So, yeah, I haven't liked the character in years. I mean, when he first came around in the Liefeld era,
right?
I loved the character. Everybody loved the character because he wasn't over the top.
Do you think this movie's harkening back to that kind of stuff?
No,
or it's going to be over the top. Nonsense?
No, it's going to be over the top.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They want the character that they have now on
which is
film.
Marketable.
Correct.
Yeah.
But he's popular. That's what you get. There's a whole Deadpool universe now. There's a female Deadpool and a dog Deadpool. And it's ridiculous.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. I kind of feel like this is going to be somewhere in the middle. At least this first one.
Yeah.
Will be somewhere in the middle. Where it goes from here. Does he become part of the X-Force movie? Does he get a sequel? Then it might start to get a little scary, but at least for the first one, I'm pretty comfortable, and I think I'm going to enjoy it thoroughly.
I mean,
we'll see.
Who's directing this?
I don't know.
It's not a big.
We do have a voicemail.
Yes.
So we're going to play it during the break, and then we'll come back. We'll come back and discuss it.
Oh, so you probably want me to say then that we'll be right back with this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Which is Brew and Eye of Newt. Come to Geekly and bring your brood. Seeking curiosities or collectible oddities? Then come on Saturday, April 18th from 10 to 5 at 663 Kearney Avenue in Kearney, New Jersey. Geekly has the best creations from local artists, as well as strange and unusual curios from the past. Free admission and fun for the whole clan. Geekly 9 has live DJs, food, raffles, and more. Looking to spice up that potion? Then look no further. Come out to Geekly 9. You'll find the strangest thing.
Hey guys, it's Rich VuLaw 2003 on Twitter. First time caller, long time listener, yada yada. Two things. You were saying about dystopian futures and how there's never anything positive. I would say Meet the Robinsons was a positive future, and you know, Star Trek, I would say is a very positive future. Just saying. Thanks.
Anakin, young one. Let thy mind be free and sense what thou dost see not.
I sense a ship, a cup, a ship, a speeder.
The boy hath spoken right in this big game.
Well, 'tis, my young one. Now, speakest thou verily? How, pray, dost thou feel?
In troth, I have been cold since Tatooine.
Indeed thou mayest, for climes as thine much heat give. Yet afraid art thou?
Nay, sir, I suffer neither fear nor dread.
See through thee we can. To be brave, excellent is. Forthright is better.
Be mindful of the motions of the spirit.
Thy thoughts upon thy mother sadly dwell.
My soul doth hunger for her warm embrace.
A dish which thou art scared to lose the taste, a mother's regard.
Of what import is that unto this test? Doth sadness o'er my mother mount to aught?
Aye, everything 'tis. To the dark side of the force. Fear's the surest path. Fear leads to anger. Onward leads anger to hate. Hate to suffering.
Hot damn! First go!
I know.
Look at that.
We got evil Yoda at the end there.
That's how he delivers
that scene.
Very, listen, very evil.
It leads to anger.
I'm happy to say.
It leads to suffering.
My performance was only a step below Hayden Christensen's. One step.
No, it's not Hayden Christensen. Like, it's, what's his name?
That's not Hayden Christensen. Oh, is that
Jake Lloyd?
Yeah,
it's Jake Lloyd. Lloyd. Even better.
Who gave up acting.
That's right.
I might be as good as Jake Lloyd.
There you go.
People booed him out of the business.
Wow.
So that, of course, an excerpt from The Phantom of Menace, the latest in the William Shakespeare Star Wars series by Ian Dusher. I don't think that's Dusher.
We do this every time.
D-O-E-S-C-H-E-R.
Doucher. Doucher.
Doucher.
It's like Phoebe Boucher.
Doucher. yes, Star Wars Part the First, this is. So,
wow, you actually got Yoda on that. Star Wars Part the First, this is.
Read the bottom.
I know. Oh, I know.
Okay. I thought they handled the Yoda lines very well.
Yeah.
As far as writing them.
I'm always impressed with
these translations. I think these are really great.
And the covers are really fucking cool.
Yeah, and there's two more, obviously. And then one assumes there'll be an episode 7-1.
Right.
So
there you go.
Yeah, interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm glad these are continuing. And mostly because it's a bit that I think everyone enjoys.
Sure.
Everyone except people who hear OG.
That's right. I bring pleasure to no one during this bit. Not even myself.
So let's just deal with the phone call right quick.
Let's deal with the phone call right quick. He said, his phone call was a bit off based on what we actually said. So
right.
He said, in regards to dystopian futures, you know, here are some examples of good ones. And he mentioned Star Trek and Futurama.
Right.
So my initial thought when I was listening to the voicemail was, dystopian future is always bad. That's the point of a dystopian future.
Well, that's what dystopian means.
Right. But what we actually said was, is there any future?
Yeah, that isn't dystopian.
That isn't dystopian.
Well, those are two good examples.
So, right. So,
on
so
both
in that
ends
regard,
of the spectrum. So,
kudos to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Futurama is not a bad future. Look,
it's not a bad future.
It's not a bad future. What's his name is they those characters kind of make it goofy, but the environment in which it exists is fine. I mean, I don't think it's dystopian. Technology isn't so bad. They got the heads in jars. It's kind of cool. They kind of shit upon it, but
Hypnotoad, the ridiculous in international politics. Like,
Everyone's not enslaved. Humdrum. It's poverty and everybody's.
It's not 1984.
Yeah, I mean, people are eating. It's not fucking Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I mean,
whoa. I think the whole point of that like genre is to make you deal with now, right? So if it was all happy, it would be fucking boring to watch.
Right, right.
Like, who cares?
But to his point,
yeah.
To our statement.
Yeah.
Is there any?
He named a couple big ones.
Yeah, he named a couple good ones. Right, so kudos to the caller.
Yeah.
And caller, I tried my darndest to figure out what the hell your Twitter handle was so that I could plug you.
Wombat.
Yeah. It was Rich. See you law 2003 or see you law 2003.
Well, tell you what. Why don't you reach out to us on Twitter?
That's right. At GeekStuffOG or at BKGeekStuff or at ScapegoatGS.
Do it.
And we'll give you your proper credit at that point.
Correct.
Because I could not figure it out. I tried searching.
Right.
I was unsuccessful.
And already today, two fine examples of using the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
To be part of this fine 9-year-old program. meaning that it is 9 years old, not that it's 4 9-year-olds. We do use their language.
Sometimes. That being said, last week we warned you that this week would be a little bit product heavy.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a bunch of most excellent things to bring to you. And I think we should start with that fine piece right there.
Yes, we are so excited whenever we get the opportunity to talk about DC collectibles. And there are so many cool ones right now, OG.
Yes.
You and I cannot even keep up.
No.
No. So we're going to try to get through as many of these. Do you realize how many Batman Black and Whites we've missed?
Like, I know.
Four.
Many, many.
We're so excited about this current series.
It's actually really cool.
This is the Bombshell series.
Yep.
DC Bombshells.
Oh, with the bubblegum?
Based on the artwork of Aunt Lucia.
That's right.
A gentleman we discovered.
I don't know if I go that far.
I'm saying it. I
stumbled on him in Artist Alley. Yes.
Yes. And look, Aunt Lucia hanging right here.
I guess technically you discovered it.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. 11 representations of his artwork in the studio.
Those are all Aunt Lucia? Yep. Oh, they are. I forgot about those.
12 if you count the Canary Bombshell statue. So he is all over the studio.
His
artwork is proudly displayed all over the studio.
I forgot you had the Canary one, too.
So what you're saying is we're discovered and sponsored by it.
Yes, so we discovered Aunt Lucia, and apparently so did DC.
Yes.
And they really like, and rightly so, his kind of, the sort of pinup girl of the 40s type artwork that he does.
Yes.
And they have applied it, or rather they have had him apply it to their female characters.
That's correct.
A very popular poster series. They did some covers as well. Yep. Ant did some covers. And then also an enormously popular statue series, right, that he has designed. And we're going to be talking about one. Did we talked about Canary when she came out, right?
Yeah.
So we're actually today we're talking about another one in the series. This is Hawk Girl. Now, what's great about the Hawk Girl statue is...
Everything is great about the Hawk Girl statue.
You sure? Jeez, hold back.
Which is saying a lot, because for me personally, generally speaking, I don't care about Hawk Girl.
Right.
She's not really on my radar as far as characters I spend time investing in, right? However...
So,
Yeah.
She has a great like rocket pack on.
Yep.
With little wings coming off of it.
Yep.
So that's how they're accounting for that. The sort of flight helmet is very reminiscent of her Hawk Girl helmet.
Correct.
You know, and the rest is she has dog tags on, soldier pants and boots.
The detail that Scapegoat kind of snuck in there early on is really, I think, what seals it for me. The bubble gum.
The boobs?
No, the bubble gum. Oh. As silly as that sounds.
No, it's...
The something about that pose and that capture with the bubble gum, that's it for me.
Yeah, like, she
that's
does. She has really the bubble gum bubble coming out of her mouth, which is great.
How does it not broken?
Very, very delicate.
I'm wondering that myself.
Actually, we haven't unboxed it just yet, but I wonder if it's a removable piece. Maybe it's a secondary piece. Although the other one
could be
Black Canary is all one piece. There's no removable.
It's all one piece. I don't think any bits of these are removable.
I'm guessing is that it's not hollow. It's solid.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And it's precariously packaged.
We'll put the show on hold for a second and let's unbox it. Well, and
let's find out together.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl.
Yes, so.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looks way better unboxed than any picture I've seen of it.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous statue.
Unbelievable.
Sculpted by Tim Miller, right?
Tim Miller, yes.
Home run, DC.
Wow, yeah.
The DC collectibles putting out some great product.
Wow.
Everything about this, man. The goggles, I know, the helmet.
Everything.
So let's say you wanted to go out and get one of these guys. What are we talking here?
What do they run, a buck and a quarter?
About a buck and a quarter, yeah. Thereabouts.
All right.
And there's a bunch of them now, too. There's one, two, three, four, five.
Stargirl, Wonder Woman, six, Catwoman.
Seven,
Zatanna.
Eight. There's almost 10 Mira, of these already.
Yeah.
There's almost 10 of these already. Batgirl.
Lois Lane.
Batgirl. Lois Lane is not out yet.
Neither is Batgirl.
No, they're Batgirl both... is out.
Oh, she just came out.
I'm trying to think of the ones she's been out for a while.
The ones we saw at Toy Fair were Batgirl. Yes, we saw Batgirl.
We saw
Catwoman.
Batwoman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Batwoman. Yes, you're
right. Batwoman.
Yes,
Batgirl is out.
Batwoman is the baseball one.
The baseball one.
Yeah, that one's really cool too.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I don't know. At one point I was thinking I want to get all these, and then I was looking at some of them, and some of them I really, really like Hawkgirl. Although I like all of them. Do I want to get all of them? Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't made a final decision on that yet. But I'm telling you, man, there's at least five or six of these that I must add, and Stargirl is probably top of my list right now. I think that one is fantastic.
They're all beautiful.
Well, actually, having just opened Hawkgirl, I think Hawkgirl's the top of my list right now.
Hawkgirl is fantastic.
Amazing. What a remarkable piece. Yeah, so check it out. Again, it's from DC Collectibles. You can go over to dccomics.com. And I think there's a link there.
Well, you'll find out about conversions.
Tim Miller is the sculptor, designed by Aunt Lucia. And we're going to be bringing you more of these also. Oh, it's about 11 inches high, by the way.
Yeah, they're a nice size statue. They're well built. I mean, the canary statues.
I see what you did there. Well built.
The canary statue is great as well.
I mean, oh, yeah.
One of my favorites.
I know. It's here in the studio.
Yeah, it is.
I forgot that was there.
Yeah, man.
So we have other DC collectibles coming up that we're going to be talking about, including, little teaser, the largest action figure in the 6-inch line, the largest 6-inch scale action figure that I've ever seen in my life.
Does that count?
La, 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 la. It is an action figure.
Okay.
It is fully posable, has more points of articulation than Star Wars figures do.
That's true.
It's in the 6-inch line. We're going to be talking about it very soon.
All right.
That's a tease. Not to mention, there was a new Batman Black and White today, so we got to catch up eventually.
We have some other DC stuff, but I think we're going to save it for next week, though. So, Scapegoat, if you could pick one out of this line, what do you think, what would your personal favorite be?
Should I even bother? I should relate. Really? Is it even worth?
Is he on to the bit?
Should I ever?
Is he caught up?
It's not fair.
What?
It's a bit. You're supposed to play along because
it's time. What's that, big cat? I hear the black light. You said the dungeons and the
dragons begin. Oh, I see. Oh, I see what you did there. Oh, very clever.
Yeah.
Very clever.
The D&D music means we have an update this week. Very exciting.
I hate the two of you.
You're welcome.
Play with the bit.
I'll just roll my 20-sided dice and
and
you did
fail.
Not botch. Good for you.
Thank you.
I botched. Yes, our D&D update for the week.
Magic armor on a tree.
And spiked a puppy. And... this week we're going to be talking about the brand new hardcover, and when I tell you what this is, OG, you're going to flip.
All right.
It's called Princes of the Apocalypse, brand new hardcover adventure book.
He's upside down.
For characters levels 1 through 15. So what does that mean? That means right out of the gate, if you're playing D&D and creating new characters, boom, you have an adventure that you can do right off the bat.
Right.
Nice. Now, let me tell you why OG is about to flip out.
All right.
Where are we supposed to do a D&D game?
Shut up. It's coming.
Okay. Fuck me, right?
I'm digging out the Shady Dragon in it.
I'm going to read you the foreword. Now, normally we would read the gray matter on this. We don't need to. I'm going to read you the foreword. I'm going to read it very quick. It's by Mike Merrills.
Okay.
Who is the lead designer for D&D over at Wizards of the Coast.
Go.
Okay, ready? Watch OG's face, Scapegoat.
I'm going to try to say this.
Adapting a classic is never an easy job. It was a simple choice to follow the Tyranny of Dragons story arc with a successor to the classic adventure, The Temple of Elemental Evil.
Wow.
That's what this is. That's the hard part was deciding how exactly to do that. We face an important decision early on in creating the concept for this campaign. In addition to the original 1985 adventure, there was a 2001 sequel, a novelization, computer game, variety of supporting articles, and mentions strewn across dozens of books. We could build another sequel or simply reprint the original adventure with updated stats. And then it goes on and on about how they went about doing it.
Over this here is... in the reaction corner, you'll notice OG's face spread wide in amazement.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that play-by-play.
I would say that module, an adventure?
Yeah.
Not an adventure?
Yeah.
Was probably one of the biggest ones at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
in 85, it was huge.
And like you said, with all of the follow-ups and supplementals, I remember there was... It appeared in Dragon magazine at least once or twice with two new character classes.
Yep,
and
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, wow. That's a good one. I mean, it's a good one to pick if you're going to go to the Trove.
Look at the artwork.
No Shady Dragon in, but what is?
Really, but what is? Well put.
What we're saying.
I want to let you know.
Is there no giant Dungeons & Dragons Online thing yet?
An MMO?
Yeah, why is there no on MMO
it's
or
called,
big
it's
game?
Called, it's let called...
Me,
let
me tell you why. Because to the purity of Dungeons and Dragons,
that's why
I would prefer that it be played with dice and pencils than on a computer.
Yep, agreed.
If you I want to play a computer a game,
World of Warcraft.
Play Warcraft.
That's it.
Play any.
That's why.
Play Lord of the Rings Online. Play any other fantasy. Yeah, play Guild
Wars. No. But there's a D&D online.
Your answer is the right answer.
Right.
There's a D&D MMO.
D&D is a big enough, and maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just known for nostalgia, but doesn't actually generate as much revenue as I think it does. But if you have that license and you're EA, why are you not making more Dungeons and Dragons?
Actually think they attempted it, right? And it didn't.
Forget
take
it's
off.
Still
forget,
there.
Forget an MMO. I'm not talking about an MMO or a free to play like bullshit. It's just cards, but they pretend it's. I mean, why is Dragon Age Inquisition, for example, not actually Dungeons and Dragons Inquisition? Like, why has no one? Is
honestly,
it because they don't need it?
I think there have been several attempts through the years to bring Dungeons & Dragons outside of dice and pencils.
Yeah.
And it has not been a success.
Okay.
It wasn't a success in the movies. Yeah. The cartoon, for what it was worth, I mean, we love it nostalgically now, but...
It was crap.
It was not that good, right? I mean, let's be honest. So,
fair enough.
And I think that...
So the fun
I
of the game
that Wizards
is...
Wizards of the Coast recognizes that its market is in the game.
Yeah.
The game is successful. It sells. People play.
Yep.
It still brings people together.
So the fun of listening. The game is the fun of the game.
Exactly. Correct.
The lore is great to support that, but it's really about people getting together, drinking beer or soda or Mountain Dew or whatever the
Funyuns,
fuck they're drinking.
Mountain Dew.
And
yes.
And having a good time.
With their
imaginations. And as soon as you take that away, why bother?
That's correct.
Okay. I respect that.
Yeah.
I don't like when people get, I've played with drunk people. It's not fun.
No.
It's
unless
really
everybody,
not.
Unless everybody is drunk. The worst is when you have a drunk
Forget,
DM.
That's not my point.
That's just terrible. No, I know it's not terrible. We're going on a tangent. But let's get back to this book.
Yeah.
It's an excellent adventure to bring into the new D&D version.
And all the hardcovers have been pretty impressive quality in terms
of
printing and color.
Oh my God. Did you see the artwork in here?
Yeah,
did I show
you
that artwork
it's gorgeous.
In the back?
Well, that's what made me think of it immediately. I'm like, that's great concept art. Like, I would want to see that.
Yeah.
You know.
This is over 250 pages, OG.
Nice.
So they have collected everything
from
all of those sources that they said, and they've kind of compiled it all into one book. What a tremendous undertaking, first of all, to get all that material together and somehow make it cohesive into a single book. I want to congratulate Wizards of the Coast. This version of D&D, I really was worried that they were not going to be able to do... to do a version that I would like, and I was wrong. I mean, I really do like. I'm really looking forward to playing.
And we will
this
be
summer.
Playing it
this summer. We will be playing it this summer.
So Eberron, Shady Dragon Inn, those are up hopefully next.
Yeah, and, hopefully Eberron. There's mentions of Eberron in everything.
I know. So it exists.
Yes,
they just gotta. Give me the source material.
I think what they're suggesting is that you could morph the source material, which I don't agree with. I think it requires a new book.
Yeah, I think it look, whenever they try to and do
Shady,
those conversion books,
yeah.
They never work out
never
quite right.
Quite well, there's also, you know, there's also the flexibility of the DM as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, because if the DM is a smart and flexible guy, you can do anything.
You could take the character types that exist in Eberron and wallpaper it on type of one of the yep. character types that exist and create your own Eberron universe.
Absolutely.
But
it would be nice if it was already the there. Yeah.
Because, and
I'll buy it.
I want the art for Eberron. Yep.
Oh my God.
I mean,
yeah.
that's,
I will buy it.
Eberron, my favorite new.
Of all time.
I mean,
it's my favorite one yeah. of all time.
And I used to be like a big Greyhawk. Like,
yeah.
Like Greyhawk, right?
Yep.
Eberron overtook it all.
Eberron was amazing. Yeah. So, I can't wait.
We hope, right? Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
if you guys are
crossed.
Listening.
You are not, however, getting a Shady Dragon in.
Ever. Why? It's the best campaign starter ever.
Not.
Come on. It would be such an easy module to put out. A little thin one. You don't need a lot of work. Here's an innkeeper. Here's some beer. Here's a map. There's a bedroom upstairs. There's a dungeon in the basement and some trees out front.
They should just update it and put it online.
That would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would download it and
with that article that you're hoarding and I haven't gotten a copy of yet.
I'll make you a copy.
Oh, I know.
That article was hard to come by.
I know.
Thank you to Smack.
Smack.
For providing that to me back in the day.
That's correct.
Yeah. So with that...
Uh-huh.
I do hear the wrap-up music.
Oh, that's a shame. I wanted to talk about those.
Yeah, I think we'll save it.
All right.
We'll save it because we have...
You know, they do all kind of look similar.
Well, that's...
That's why. That's a tease.
Oh, I see what I did. I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
That's cleaver.
And good for you.
Cut off.
But yes, the wrap-up music is
and good for you.
Yeah.
So...
Thanks.
So quick with the plugs. Geek Flea 9 is coming up next Saturday.
I am so devastated that I will not be at Geek Flea 9.
I will purchase an extra empanada and try to FedEx it to you.
You don't have to. Just keep it right in your fridge.
Just keep it for you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, what's,
is that
for a
Sunday?
Month.
Is it Sunday?
It is Saturday, April 18th.
Put it in the freezer.
Yeah, here.
Give me three. Put it in the freezer.
So, Geek Flea 9 and Carney. Of course, you heard the commercial during the break. Link is on the website, so check that out.
Yes.
We also have Free Comic Book Day coming up, but we'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's get through Geek Flea first. But
if you're going
Inside Comics and Time Warp is where we'll be.
Correct.
Different points in time during
time
the day.
Time Warp Comics and Games in Cedar Grove.
And
I think we'll be there first.
Yep. And Eastside Comics in Montclair.
Correct.
So there's that.
Even though I will not be at Geek Flea, I will be sending a number of products along with
That's
OG
right.
to Geek Flea. So right. please... take advantage of me not being there and OGs not wanting to carry my stuff back out of Geek Flea.
Right. So that will be happening. And then,
yes.
of course, you can find us online.
What about where I will be?
At Celebration.
Celebration!
We spent the entire first 10 minutes of the show plugging the fact that it's your birthday and Celebration.
Just saying.
It's a celebration at Celebration for BKev. If you're at Celebration, seek him out and give him a birthday hug.
And what else?
What else?
I'll be doing. I'll be doing. That's right, and it's hug. I'll be doing. I think I'm doing.
Oh, toy break.
Oh, the good old hug and tug.
That's right, the hug and tug.
I'm doing Toy Break next week. I think.
Yes.
I'll be at Disneyland.
Right.
You've never been to Disneyland.
I have never been to Disneyland.
See, I'm gonna. And I'll
it's
be
like
there.
The
this is my
older,
second time.
It's like
there
the shitty older brother at Disney World.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like the recovering alcoholic.
So there'll be
older
that.
Brother.
Did
like,
you see, by
like
the way?
It's like when your parents have the second kid and they figure out how to get everything right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
By the way,
oh,
did
big brother's
you see,
coming home. Great.
By the way, did you see this a new Astromech in celebration of the anniversary of Disneyland?
No, I did not see that.
Oh, yes. Only available in that. Not going to be available when I'm there.
Ah, balls.
We're going to have to hit up George and Aileen.
Balls. Yeah, well, I'll find someone. I have people that go
mules.
To my office,
mules.
So. I will find something.
You need two. I need one.
I know.
And if you could bring back a smoked turkey leg.
There you go. That's Disney World.
Just put it in the freezer.
And that's
Disney
actually
World.
Hollywood Studios.
Haha.
Whatever the name
they
is.
They sell
now.
That at Disney
yeah,
World.
Yeah, it's also.
Oh, they sell it at World.
They absolutely
also?
Sell it at World.
Yeah, they sell them a little closer at every fucking store ever that sells food.
That's not true.
Or go to the
New York
Renaissance Festival. Yeah.
Don't forget, you can find us on the Twitter at BKGeekStuff, at ScapegoatGS, and at GeekStuffOG. You can also hit us up on the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev GeekStuff.
Woo. Yes.
And I think that might be it.
And with that, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close, the way we end all episodes, by saying, good night, James Best, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music. just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get 'em, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Just a good old boy, they wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two, modern day Robin Hood.